share that last verse from the Message translation. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light, so the work can be seen for the God work it is. You no doubt recognized in today's reading possibly the verse of all verses in the entire Bible, that of John 3:16. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. But we've packed a lot more into the lesson than just this line. Because by itself, it reads as if we can go about our lives acting however we like. As long as we believe in Jesus, we're saved from a future of pain and misery. The story of Jesus and Nicodemus follows a progression. It starts with the decision that a person must make in order to set themselves up for salvation. Next, it acknowledges the challenge in making that decision, and only then do we arrive at the impact of that decision. The setting here is important. We're told that Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. So Nicodemus is one who would have been a part of Jewish government, leading from the religious authority granted to him. Given what we're taught about the views and attitudes of the religious leaders of the time, it could also be inferred that just talking with Jesus alone, giving him any credibility at all, would have been highly risky business. So the scene is set with Nicodemus meeting with Jesus at night. Nicodemus shows a measure of belief in Jesus' ministry, but also shows some doubts as well. These doubts open the door for Jesus to make more clear how we are to establish ourselves as Christians and what that ultimately means. So Jesus starts with explaining how we need to actively choose to be reborn in the Spirit. Sadly, it seems in today's society that the act of being born of water and the Spirit has taken on a negative image, driving people away from God's kingdom rather than drawing them to it. The Urban Dictionary refers to born-again Christians as a sect of Christianity, while an article in The Independent from the UK titled Inside a Church for Born-Again Christians calls it a branch of Christianity. These references and images are concerning because they depict the act of being reborn as being an option, that some can choose to do it while others don't yet are still Christians. But aren't the words of Jesus clear? That unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is a pretty clear instruction to all Christians that we must be reborn in order to completely follow Jesus' instructions. So what does it mean to be reborn? And does that make me some kind of eccentric in a sect or branch of religion? In a recent reflection shared by Reverend Catherine Matthews, the former dean of the Amistad Chapel, she called my attention to author Marcus Borg and his book, The Heart of Christianity. Borg challenges Christians to look at being born again differently. Instead of spiritual rebirth being just about seeing, believing, and receiving, Borg adds depth to the experience by pressing us to intensify our relationship with God and accept completely the call as Christians to seek justice and care for those in the margins. In this way, being born again is not just a moment in time. It's a journey that we live out each day, seeking God's wisdom and acting on God's instructions to us through the teachings of Jesus. That then makes us blow where God pleases so that others may hear us, not as eccentrics, but as disciples. We can seek out God and act toward fulfilling his call to us. But what about believing? We can certainly look at the formal definition of belief, a state or habit of mind in which trust or confidence is placed in some person or thing, something that is accepted, considered to be true, or held as an opinion. This is the great challenge of being reborn into the Spirit, that we must place a trust or confidence in something we cannot always see. People did not believe in the works and acts of Jesus when he was here among them. How much harder is it for us to accept as true the words that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life? The truth is that none of this is easy, but it is required of us as Christians that we accept the teachings of Jesus as related in the gospel. That Jesus was born, that Jesus was crucified yet raised 3 days later, and that through death and resurrection, Jesus accepted the sentence for all sin and opened the door to reconcile each one of us to God. The action of rebirth and the importance of belief had to be explained before we could get to the words we've been waiting to hear. That God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So we're good now, right? We've chosen to follow Jesus. We've reflected on the fact that we need to deepen our relationship with God and increase our focus on serving the poor, the needy, the sick, and the lost. So we're ready to accept the gift of Jesus in our lives. An interesting side note. The formal liturgy for today ends with verse 17. But I shared through verse 21. Why is that? Because there's one more critical point to consider. Verses 18 and 19 reinforce the point that Jesus was not sent to judge, but to save. Verses 20 and 21 become the verb of this passage, the action we're called to take. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. Marcus Borg talks in his writings about entering a new life of freedom, joy, peace, and love. Living by the truth means that we need to recommit ourselves to lives of service. We need to show those around us that there is a hope for the future when they cannot see it themselves. We need to create missions that shine the light on God's love, on those who need it most. These missions fill our lives with truth and light, and God's glory is shown through them. So what missions can a small church like ours undertake? How can we begin to live by the truth? I'd like to propose, among others, three potential ministries that could get us started. These ministries are entirely possible for a small group and can build momentum toward showing the light that we are truly born of the water and the Spirit. The first is a birthday card ministry. We have a few locations within a 10-minute drive of this church that would benefit from such a caring and giving act. Whether we choose perception programs to help those struggling with addiction and mental health concerns, the Brooklyn Correctional Institution, where those who are incarcerated need a word of hope for their turnaround, or Davis Place, where people are living out years of their later lives and at times have no one to remind them that they're loved. This ministry can make an incredible difference in our community. The second is to deepen our interaction we started at Advent with Covenant to Care. We have the opportunity to serve not just for Christmas with angel tags and gifts but for life events during the year as well. Birthdays, graduations, and other moments of significance happen with youth in DCF care all the time. We can make a difference for these children and youth. The third is to start a faith and film series here at this church, to invite people to come once a month with a potluck item to share, to watch a film together, and to have a discussion about where we witness God and its content. Then to talk about how we can take these observations and apply them in the world around us. To do this, we will each need to agree to be a spark to get the ball rolling. Once we do these, missions will grow from that small spark to the glowing light of Christ's love in the world. We will be reborn. The church will be reborn. And the hope of a small community for a brighter future will be reborn as well, carried by the Spirit as far and wide as God wills it.